The book of Judges. The book of Judges here this morning. I believe if you listen, the Lord is going to speak to you here this morning. He's going to speak into your situation. Whatever it may be, amen, he's going to speak into your situation, but you need to allow him to speak into your situation. And as you allow him to speak into your situation, you need to allow yourself to do it, to apply the word of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Going to be speaking about Gideon here this morning, a well-versed, well-known story. And I believe it's going to encourage each and every one of us here this morning as I give one of two preachings. It's going to be there's going to be a part two to it. So as I give the first part, so it's going to be like a soap opera. I'm going to kind of just leave it off with not finishing it. Amen? How many look at soap operas every day? Yeah, you better not raise your hand. Soap opera as the world turns. General Hospital and all that stuff. Amen. Judges chapter 6. Let's open up with verse 1. Let's just go to verse 1 here this morning. If you did not bring your Bible, amen, you're able to look at the overhead projectors that will have the scriptures that are being used here. Today I'm going to be preaching out of the NIV translation. Amen. Praise the Lord. The book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 1. And the Bible reads, "Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We love you. Give you all the glory and all the honor. I pray that you put me to the side, that there be a focus to your word here this day, Lord. And as last Sunday's message said, that we listen intently to your words, Lord, to allow them to go into our hearts for the cleansing and the washing and the sanctification, the separation process may begin in our lives. Have your way this day, Holy Spirit. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. The book of Judges, once again, I'm going to open up in verse 1. Amen. If you don't have a Bible, we're a Bible church. I challenge you to go get a Bible if you need help in the translation of what Bible to get. Amen. I'm here to help you, to drive with you to the store, to take you to the Christian store, and whatever it takes, and you getting the right translation, that word that would be able to change your life, that it may not be something just preached about, but something applied within your life. Judges 6:1, it says, tell your neighbor again. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. I'm going to be sharing real simple points here this day, real simple message for a simple people like you and I. So I need everybody listening intently, not being focused, who's walking around. Let's be focused here this morning. Opening the point with verse 1, here they were in disobedience. They were once again in sin. Amen. And God would for 7 years, he would give them into the hands of the enemy. I put a point here that the Lord gave me that says, wherever there is sin taking place, God is always looking for a man, a woman, and a youth member. Wherever there is sin taking place, God is always looking for a man, a woman, or a youth member. I put here simple poise. He's not looking for someone that is perfect here this morning. Because if that was the case, Jesus would be the only one here this morning in the temple. Verse 15, this is the type of people that he's looking for. Verse 15 reads, "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel?" When you ask a question, that means you don't have the answer. Gideon thought that his life did not have the answer in saving Israel. We need to know here this morning that Jesus is the answer, that he is the way and the truth and the life. And here, God would come to Gideon, and he would want to use his life. He would want to use his life, but in asking permission to use his life, in giving him the word, Gideon would ask, "How can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And I am the least in my family. To me, it sounds pretty much as if the Lord was picking the black sheep of the family. I don't know how many black sheep of the family we have here present this morning, but I believe it is the majority here. I know out of a family of seven, I was the black sheep of the family by far. There was no second place, no third place. I took it all. I was the black sheep of my family. I was the least of the least. Nothing good was going to come forth from my life. You may be sitting in the rehab right now. You've gone through an ordeal of drug addiction, breaking promises, whatever it is. You might be in the church here this morning breaking promises. You want to change, but you can't. And all you can rely on is your past. I want to let you know that the Lord is looking for a man here this morning. I want to let you know that the Lord's looking for a woman here this morning. That the Lord is looking for a youth member that he can use. That the good news is we got Jesus here this morning. The good news is you don't have to remain the way you are. The good news is that you can change. But you're going to have to answer the call when God comes calling. I know when he came calling my name while I was still in prison doing time, I told him over and over, "You got the wrong guy. You got the wrong man. One of your angels did a mistake. I ain't the one. Why are you speaking to me?" And I believe Gideon was on that page in his life in a time of attack that was taking place by the enemy. And I believe here there's some men and women and youth that God wants to use. That God wants to use. I put here in one of my notes, you could be sitting here this morning one that has made many mistakes in disobedience and just might have the right heart that God is looking for. You could be the one messing up right now, being disobedient in sin, and have the right heart that God is looking for. That's a good place to give the Lord a good clap offering right there. You could be all confused right now, and God's saying, "You got the right heart that I want to use. Not only to change your life, but to change other lives." That's good news here this morning. You could be in disobedience right now, and God's saying, "You got the right heart. But you're going to have to let me in. You're going to have to allow me to lead your life. You're going to have to allow me to speak into your life. And you're going to have to believe, even though it sounds too good to be true. I put here a lot of times we feel we can't change. We feel we can't change. There's a stronghold in our lives and we feel we can't change. And I want to let you know here that this morning that that's a lie from the pit of hell. I want to let you know and testify that at one time my life was so lost and bound that I gave my life to the devil over and over, all the way to death, over and over through addiction, running the streets, hurting my family. And one day, as God came looking and saw the heart condition of Gideon that was right, one day God came through the prison cell of the prison that I was in, and he would see that I had the right heart. That he would be able to use my life if I would surrender it to him. See, right now I got to say it over and over. You can be all messed up, making all kinds of mistakes, doing things that you're not supposed to be doing, and God is looking into your heart and saying, you got the right heart. He's not saying, you got the right heart, your heart's so good, you can just continue doing the stuff you're doing. No, he's saying, you got the right heart. If you surrender it to me, I will be able to do the impossible. So Gideon here was saying, I can't change. I'm the least of my family. I'm the black sheep. Everybody knows I'm the black sheep of the family. There's nothing that's good that should come forth from my life. But God saw different. Tell your neighbor, but God saw different. God saw different than what mom and dad thought. Tell your neighbor. God saw different than what mom and dad saw. You might have been told that you would never become nothing. But God sees different here this morning. God sees different. And a lot of times we feel we can't change, which represents God can't really use us then. Because I feel I can't change, well, I know then, that's why I don't want to get involved in stuff, because I'm really still doing stuff on the side right now. Things could be not right in your life right now, and you could be a possible candidate of having the right heart that God is looking for. Your messed up condition, what I'm trying to say right now, can qualify you. Maybe not with man, maybe not with your spouse or your children, but qualify you by God. God's saying you got a qualified heart, but you're going to have to surrender it to me. Too many people going to their grave with a good heart that never did nothing for God. It was a heart that God had called out to you. It was a heart that God had called out year after year after year. But yet, because we feel we're the black sheep and the least of our family, and we got a track record that says we've done this and this and this, we feel God would never choose us. But I have good news for you here this morning. God is looking for a man, I tell you once again. God is looking for a woman. He's looking for a youth member that may not have it all together, but that got the right heart. God's the right heart to do this. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, 7, he would come to anoint the next king, and he would go through all the sons of Jesse. And Samuel would, they would pass one by one before him, and he would say, nope, it's not that one. Nope, it's not that one. Nope, you sure you ain't got any more? So, well, there's little David in the shepherd's field with a few sheep. Bring him down. Bring him over here. And he would look and say, this is the one. This is the one. The Bible says he was a ruddy little handsome guy. Amen? But verse 7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord, this is the part I want you to catch, the Lord does not look at the things man looks at. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Oh, let's give the Lord a good clap offering. Simple scriptures, simple scriptures. The Lord is not really tripping on your track record, how tall you are, how short you are, how old you are. He's looking at the heart here this morning. And that's why a lot of people can do good for a season and then fail because their heart was not right. A lot of times we see people in high positions fall because their heart was not right. There's a verse that says, Lord, protect my heart and my mind. The full armor of God. We need to protect our hearts because that's the area the Lord is looking into. He paid the price of our sins of yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's paid the price of all our mess ups. So that tells us he's not looking at our mess ups. He's not looking at our mess ups. Too many times you think he's looking at your mess ups. Too many times you think mom and dad are still all worried about your mess ups. That your children are looking at your mess ups. And they might be. But I want to let you know that we serve a God that ain't looking at your mess ups, but looking at to the heart that he has created. The Lord's created all of us with good hearts, but sin crept in. Sin crept in. And it gave us very bad hearts, evil hearts. But our hearts were created by God to do something great for God. God's not looking at the sin right now. He's looking into the heart. You know why he's looking past the sin? Because he knows his son already took care of the area of sin at the cross. He's looking into hearts this morning. He's in, okay, the brother in the third row. Wow, man, got a big heart, but man, there's a lot of stuff up in there. Well, my son Jesus took care of all that sin, so I know that big heart surrenders to God. But man, the Holy Spirit is looking at the woman at the fifth row back there saying, man, she's got a big heart. She wants to do something for God, but all this baggage, all these hindrances, all these things in her heart is preventing her from answering the call. You got a heart problem here this morning? Oh, yeah, Pastor, man, I've had a stroke. I have two. No, I'm talking a heart problem of sin. God's looking at our hearts right now. And too many times through our appearances, we get by and look like everything's okay with us. We got a fade going. We got curls. You know, amen, we got our makeup on. We got our best shoes on. We got our best suit on. But inside the heart, see, God's not looking at what we came dressed with this morning. God's looking at our heart. He's looking at our heart. He saw Gideon and he saw his heart and he says, he's got the right heart. And Judges, as we go back to Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. What was taking place at this time, because they were once again in disobedience, doing evil in the eyes of the Lord. Maybe to themselves, they thought they were doing good. But the Bible says, before the eyes of the Lord, they were doing evil. Sometimes we think we're doing good, and we're coming to church, but before the eyes of the Lord that looks into our heart, there's evil taking place within our lives. But nevertheless, wherever there is sin, God is always looking for a heart to come against it. A heart that would speak for him. A heart that he would be able to use. In verse 3, the Bible reads that they would come in. The Midianites would come in. They would plant their seed. They would plant their harvest. And year after year, they would come in. And right when it was time, they would come in and just ravage the country. They would take all the crops, all the donkeys, all the sheep, and the cow. Everything would be gone. They would be working hard and getting nowhere. Do I have some people here that are working hard, going to work, and getting nowhere where God wants to get you? Verse 3, the Bible reads, whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. Verse 3 says that they would steal all their crops. All their work would be taken from them. Verse 4 says that they would go on to steal their sheep, cattle, and donkeys. Verse 5 says, and like swarms of locusts, it was impossible to count the men and their camels. I put here my little side notes, disobedience brings odds that will always defeat you. Disobedience brings odds that will always defeat you. The Bible says they came as the swarms of locusts that were so numerous they could not be counted. But remember, Israel was once again doing evil in the eyes of the Lord. Man, when I would backslide and I was in the world, I just wasn't a little pot smoker or drinking a little beer on the side. I was a dope fiend. I was slamming dope 24/7 around the clock, slinging dope 24/7 around the clock until I would get busted and go back to prison. The odds would get so great that mom and dad couldn't help me, money couldn't help me, drugs couldn't help me, the PO couldn't help me, nothing could help me. The odds would become so great that I didn't even care if I was to live or to die. The odds would become so great walking outside and the purpose and the will of Jesus. There was times I would get jobs, get two or three cars, and I was just smoking a little pot on the side. I was leaving the hard dope alone. And I would once again go back to the hard addiction. And once again, within days, everything would be sold for pennies. Once again, I would be walking the streets with same clothes for months, wearing the same clothes. Once again, eating out of trash cans. Nowhere to go. Nowhere to sleep. The odds were so great. We need to get off the page that things we can sit on the side and that the odds are going to be in our favor. That's the deceiving of the enemy right there. That allows us to think we can still do this and this and get over and still be in the favor of the Lord. Some of you are still doing stuff and wondering why you still ain't being used. You think I just got naturalized that see you come to church all the time. But Lord has given me spiritual eyes that I can start seeing through people. I'm getting good at it. To know that the heart is not right. That there's things taking place. A man or a woman or a youth not really being accountable. Why? Because there's something that's being hidden. The Bible says that they were so impoverished, another translation says, down to starvation. down to starvation. I was starving in the streets with thousands running through my hands every day. Every little bit of it went towards dope. I didn't stop at Taco Bell to get a taco for lunch. No such thing. I was a dope fiend. I was bad. But God saw a good heart. God saw a good heart. I said, God saw a good heart that was deceived by the enemy. He seen a good heart. Each and every one of us, the truth is, we got good hearts. But some of them have more evil than others. Some of them got more baggage than others. In verse, I put here, how many of you are tired of the enemy coming year after year and robbing you of your harvest? Robbing you of your calling. How many know that you've been called by God, but you find yourself still at the same place? Not because it's the heir of the pastor or the heir of God, but you're still doing stuff on the side. See, there's good news here this morning that you don't have to keep doing that stuff on the side or on Front Street, however it's taking place. God wants to use each and every one of us. Now, I know we can get over a brother or sister, but to get over God, stop it. You can't do it. He's a great God. He's a big God, and that's to your advantage, not your disadvantage. In verse 16, we're going to go to the New Living Translation. I like the way it reads. The Lord gave a word to Gideon. Gave a word to Gideon. Remember, the least of his family. The black sheep. He was at the wine press and hiding, you know, at the wine press there when the Lord would appear to him. And this is what the Lord said to him. This is the Lord speaking to Gideon. The Bible reads, I will be with you. And you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Now remember, we just heard there were like swarms of locusts. They were so numerous they couldn't be counted. Not even their camels could be counted. They were numerous. The odds were totally against the Israelites without a God. But here, when you allow God to come into your life, when you surrender your life, God is able to turn the odds in your favor. He would speak to Gideon, even though he was the least, the black sheep of his family. And the very important word says, I will be with you. I will be with you. As if you were fighting against one man. But even though I put here, even though God gave him a word, a promise, he was still Gideon. The least of his family. And I believe many of you within this church have already received the word from the Lord. And how he wants to use you. But you're still brother such and such, sister such and such. When the word of the Lord came to me, I was still in prison. I was still H26577. I wasn't Pastor Charlie. I was H26577. And he would give me a promise and a word that was just so great under the odds that I was in prison, not knowing who he was. I just had a heart of evil. But he was able to see that my heart of evil was a good heart. I know that'll make sense right there. I know that'll make sense. He was able to see that my heart of evil was a good heart that could be cleansed and washed as it was surrendered over to him. He was able to see that my heart was good where I would answer the call, even though my name was still Charlie.
even though I didn't know one scripture yet, even though I didn't know how to pray yet, God gave me a word while I was in prison. And every last one of them has come to pass. But it took time. It took a process. I had to go through a process. Tell your neighbor, you got to go through a process. The process of God. If you want your heart cleaned out. That's the problem. Nobody wants to go through a process of God. You'll rather go through the process of the world, the process of the enemy that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Why would you rather go through that process? Because you know how to do it. You know how to do it. You can do it moonwalking. You can do it with your eyes closed. I got so good where I could shoot dope in the dark. Where everybody needed a light to find the vein, I could shoot dope. I knew when that needle went in, and psh, I knew when it went in. A lot of times we revert back to the old man and the old woman. Why? Because we know how to do it. We're so-called in control, but yet so deceived. You feel you're in control when you know how to do something, but so deceived. That's why our walk with the Lord is one of faith. Here this morning, as the Lord stirs your heart, you're going to have to believe that it's not me speaking into your heart, but the Lord. He's saying you got a good heart. But we need to do something about its condition. You got a good heart. I created that heart. I created for it to hunger and thirst for me. Not to hunger and thirst for the things of the world, for addiction. But I created your heart to hunger and thirst for more and more of me. I created your heart to be hooked on me. Not drugs. But he was still Gideon. He would have to go through a process. He was still Gideon. In verse 14, he would give him the word, now go. He would give the go word. He would say, now go. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have. And save Israel out of the Midianites' hands. This is the important part. Am not I sending you? See, the Lord is speaking to you. It's because he's got a mission for you to fulfill. He's got a mission for you to fulfill. And here Gideon, being the least of his family, never getting nothing right, had a good heart. Though he had made a lot of mistakes, though he thought very poorly of himself, though he thought he was of no use for his family, more or less being of use for God, but God would look into his heart and find a good heart that he could work through. But he would have to speak into that heart. He would have to speak in through that doubt. He would have to speak that he could change, that he could lead, that he could become great, that he could become a mighty warrior of God, a mighty man of valor. But when the word came, he was simply just Gideon. He was simply just Gideon. But at the end it says, am I not sending you? You see, when the Lord is sending you, the Lord will be with you. Go in the strength you have. In other words, the word of the Lord is coming to you this morning. And the Lord says, I want you to respond to the word I'm speaking over your life, speaking into your heart. I want you can respond just the way you are this morning. You don't have to have this and this corrected. So many men and women say, well, Pastor, you know, I love you and I know God has called me, but I still got this and this going on in my life and I don't want to be a hypocrite like everybody else and I got to make some things, you know, happen first in my life and then I want to come clean into the church. It ain't happening. We might be able to make a heart evil, but we ain't got the power, the wisdom to cleanse our heart. We might know how to make our heart evil and full of junk, but we are not capable of throwing the junk out of our heart, of removing. The best heart physician is not able to remove the sin from your heart. Only a Savior called Jesus is able to remove the best that you have placed within your heart by being deceived by the work of the enemy that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You can't cleanse your heart by getting a better paying job. You can't cleanse your heart by losing the old lady you're with to go with another one. Only Jesus is able to look into a heart of a man or a youth, and only Jesus is able to sanctify that heart. But you got to go through a process. You got to go through the process of Jesus. There's no way you can learn the whole Bible. You can memorize the whole Bible. You can take every one of Pastor Jamie's classes, and you're still not going to be able to clean your heart. But the classes will show you how to allow God to come in and clean your heart. The classes will teach you how not to be deceived by the enemy to add on to that evilness already that's there. See, the word of the Lord is a light. It exposes. It cleanses. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's no power in a pipe. There's no power in marijuana. There's no power in alcohol. There's no power in women. There's no power in men unless their lives are devoted to Jesus. Jesus is looking for a man here this day. He's looking for a woman. He's looking for a youth member because he knows you got the right heart. But he knows you need to go through a process in the cleansing process and washing of that heart. That staying clean and sober for 10 years, for 100 years is not going to clean your heart. You can have 1,000 chips of AA and it still ain't going to take the wickedness out of your heart. You can be an AA sponsor. What do you call it?
Sponsor. Is it a sponsor?
Yeah, how many sponsors we got in here? Sponsor. Our sponsor is Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can cleanse your heart.
Hello, my name is Joe, and I've been clean and sober now for 9 months.
Hi, Joe.
Go to the back table, light a cigarette up, and have some coffee. The heart's still polluted. Too many of y'all trying to do things to clean that heart. You stop it. You're wasting your time.
But if you're on the Daniel fast right now, and you thought it was obedient to start fasting before the Lord, that's a good way to be cleansed and washed. That's a good way to be sensitive to what the Spirit of the Lord has for your life. That's a good way to go through the cleansing process of having your heart cleansed and washed so that it can be used by God, not to give to some woman. God ain't here cleaning hearts where you can say, I give you all my heart to a woman, to a man. See, there's some hearts that God's been cleaning, and through the process, you're starting to look at sister such and such. You're starting to look at brother such and such because your heart's getting so clean. You think you're in the pot. You know. You know what's so crazy? You can be clean and sober for years, but it just takes 5 seconds to get an evil heart all over again. For those that have backslidden, you know what I'm talking about. One. doing all this weird stuff. You know my main hustle? I know what time it is, Miguel. My main hustle, I was out on the streets. I would be up for 4 or 5 straight days, man. I mean, stick thin. I mean, I thought I was getting over. I had it all in control, right? I would be out there. I've preached it before, and the cops would go by, and I would go, oh, that guy's just woken up. An hour ago, I had breakfast and coffee and a donut at the donut place, and but really, I was wank. So when the cops would drive by, I would just act like I was tired. I'd been up and I was zooming, and the cop would go by and going all the way over again. That was my hustle. When the cops would come by, and there was a girl next to me, I'd go, walk with me, walk with me. That's the way we do it in the streets, baby. I don't care what she looked like. You're my girl. Walk with me. I'll take care of you one way or another. Just walk. Walk with me. There you go. And then sometimes I have my arm and another one, I'll be yawning. I'm not doing nothing wrong. I ain't doing nothing wrong. I'm just taking a walk through the street. There's nothing wrong with that. My God. Just walk with me. Go in the strength you have. Just the way you are. He was sending Gideon. Gideon hadn't gone through no process yet. But that what's important that you need to hear is that God said, am I not sending you? Am I not sending you? See, we got to believe on that word. And to believe on that word, it takes faith. It takes faith that all we got to do is go and do what the Lord says, and that he will empower us, and that he will cleanse us, that he will strengthen our mentality. It takes faith. When we've been living a life that's been so deceived for so many years, it takes faith. Just the way you are. I got a little point here, and it's a real simple message. You can start today. That should have been, that's the title of the message. You can start today, all right? I did not start off as a pastor with the suit on. God called me when I was lost and bound. He gave me a word, and I was either going to respond to it or not respond to it. And I would keep coming to the altars, and I would keep coming to the altars, and I would never miss one altar, whether I had to go to the number one or the number two. I was still at the altar because I knew I had to get to the altar. I knew there was still more garbage in my heart. I was in the back row in the fellowship with other people acting like everything was okay. I knew I was messed up. So where would you find me? At the altar. Every service, I was at the altar. I wasn't in the back fellowshipping and talking and trying to act like I was doing so good, because I knew that the Lord has given every one of us a conscience to let us know what's really going on in our lives. Some of you think you don't have to make the altar call. You're good. You're good. I'm good. No, man. And the person that brought you saying, come on, go to the altar. No, man, I'm good. I'm good. Next time. But if there was a crack pipe being handed out for free, would you say next time or this time? Today. Pastor, you're talking a lot of dope. I know I am. It's not me. It's the Lord. He knows the Gideons that I'm speaking to right now. I always try to get polished. I could keep this one real polished. But I know the people that the Lord wants to work in right now. And even though we're people, Gideons, that were all messed up, God is able to cleanse you and change your life and use your life. That's why I'm giving it to you curb status right now. From the street corner in the temple of God. Giving it to you the way you need to hear it. I want to let you know that you can start today and responding to the word that is in your heart right now. But if you don't, the bird, which is the enemy, comes and just snatches the word of God that is able to cleanse you and set you free and send you.
You got to respond. You can start today. I believe that that same night, Gideon went. And it would start at dealing with his family, his father. And they would have an altar there. And all. But that's next message. I believe the work the Lord wants to start is starting off within our families. It starts there at your house. It starts there at your house where God wants you to start today in your house. He says, am I not sending you? Am I not the one that gave you the word? He's going to back it up. You can be a Gideon here this morning and go and start today. God is going with us through this process. He knows we can't do it alone. And so he tells him, Gideon, am I not going with you? You can start today, verse 17. Usually when a people like us, a Gideon people, verse 17, the Bible says Gideon needed a sign. Gideon replied, if now I have found favor in your eyes. Remember, it's Gideon talking. He ain't the great mighty man of valor yet. It's Gideon speaking, saying, hey, this is just a little bit too over my head to believe that I can change and be used and save Israel. If now I have found favor in your eyes, give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Give me a sign that is really you talking to me. If the Lord is moving your heart, that is all you need. He's moving your heart, the place that needs cleansing and washing, the place where he's going to implant his word and that it's going to start off and grow and it's going to get greater and greater. But Gideon says, give me a sign, man. I need something else than that, just than a word. It's like some of you saying, Lord, if you let Green Bay win today, that will be a sign. All I need, that's the sign, Lord. And I start today, right after the game is over, Lord. I promise you, give me a sign. Let Green Bay win. When God's will, when the will of God is clear for your life, to demand a sign is evidence of an unwillingness to obey. When God's call, you've been in the church a while now, the call is clear as a bell. He's moved your heart over and over and over and over, and you're still asking for him to give you a sign. It's usually a doubt that says, I am not going to obey. I need a sign. The Lord has given me a billion signs. In the process of walking with him, in the process of surrendering my life to him. And sometimes the signs he uses are real teensy, weensy, little, bitty, bitty signs that you got to be in the spirit in order to see them. They're signs because God is a God. He's a spirit. And usually all day long he sends us signs that he's leading, that he's working, that he's moving within our lives. But a lot of times we're not reading and praying like we should, being part of the fast like you should, and you miss all the signs of God through the course of the day. I love the little ones, because that takes a keen eye, that takes a focus to be able to see those. That's if you know God's will is clear for your life already. When God's will is uncertain, you're not there yet. It's still uncertain. It was uncertain in the life of Gideon. When God's will is still uncertain, if you keep seeking God, he will make it clear to you, but you can't give up.
If God's will for your life ain't certain here this morning, if you keep seeking Him, it will become certain. The Bible says when you knock and seek, and you will find me. It will be open to you. I want to let you know that I was the least of Gideons when the Lord first would come to my life and speak a word to me. He would prophesy to me that my family would all come back together and that they would have a relationship, which was insane. It's not going to happen. It all has happened. He would prophesy, but some of you guys have been prophesied before, but we still got to go through the process, even if you've been prophesied over. You still got to have our hearts cleansed and washed as the worship team makes their way forward, please. That's the fastest I've seen Miguel and Alex get up in a long time, man. Miguel, you were...